More worrisome, still more worrisome, in fact, than the violence of the mob, were the beginnings of really much more highly placed dissent. The Edict of Saint-Germain-en-Laye in January 1562, which had granted conditional permission for public Protestant worship, was extremely unpopular in France, especially among elites. The Parlement of Paris, the highest court in the land, simply refused to register the edict and said it conflicted with all the laws of France, and similar kinds of resistance was encountered in all of the provinces. Worst of all, still worse than the resistance of the courts and the Parlement, was the formation of the so-called Triumvirate in April of 1561 by three key aristocrats, François, the Duke of Guise, Anne de Montmorency, and an army marshal known as the Sieur de Saint-André. The Triumvirs, as they called themselves, swore to defend the Catholic faith with force, if necessary, and also, if necessary, with the help of foreign powers, in particular with the arch-Catholic Philip II of Spain. By February of 1562, the Triumvirs had actually gained the allegiance of the nominally Protestant Antoine de Bourbon, who, like I said, was nominally Protestant, but whose religion tended to depend on whatever gains could be realized from the matter. Catherine was very distressed at this. She had tried to keep both Montmorency and Bourbon out of the tensions between Condé and the House of Guise in order to preserve a kind of center and in order to preserve the autonomy of the crown. But despite her efforts, by the spring of 1562, I think we have to say that this mixture of religious concerns and factional concerns had led to a very deadly kind of political polarization. And the spark to war was given by an incident called the Massacre of Vassy in March of 1562. On the 1st of March, 1562, the troops of the Duke of Guise encountered on the estate of the Duke of Guise an assembly of Protestants. It was illegally assembled, but the people who were worshipping there were unarmed. Now, accounts of what happened at Vassy are partisan, and it's hard to know exactly what did in fact transpire. But one way or another, in the end, the troops of the Duke of Guise opened fire on this unarmed assembly and killed at least 30 civilians. In reaction to this, on the 2nd of April, 1562, a group of Protestant noblemen led by Condé seized the town of Orléans, and this example of capturing a city and holding it against the crown was soon followed in many cities all over France. The Huguenots gained control of Rouen in Normandy and Lyon in southern France, the second city of the country after Paris. Condé issued a manifesto and declared that the Protestants were fighting over the matter of religion, but it was perfectly clear to most observers that this was very much about seizing power as well, and thus the wars of religion began. Historians like to count eight wars of religion between 1562 and 1598. It's often difficult to kind of separate them. But the first three wars, which are usually assigned to the years 1562 to 63, 1567 to 8, and 1568 to 70, tended to follow a fairly similar kind of script. They always began with an attempted coup, either by the Huguenots against the crown or by the crown against the Huguenots. And this coup was invariably unsuccessful because, like I've said earlier, no one could ever keep secrecy. The Huguenots would then typically seize and fortify themselves in a number of strategic cities, and then both sides would appeal to the outside for foreign help. The crown would typically appeal to Philip II of Spain. The Huguenots would appeal to the German Protestants or to the Protestant Queen Elizabeth I of England. When there were battles out in the open country, the crown usually won. It could usually prevail against the Huguenots, but it was really never able to achieve a kind of decisive victory. The crown's forces were much larger than those of its opponents, but they were widely scattered all over the frontiers of France. It was very time-consuming to bring them all together, and it was very expensive to bring them all together. It was hard, in a sense, for the crown to focus all of its resources in one place to crush the Huguenots. And in any case, if the Huguenots were defeated in the field, this was never fatal to their cause as long as they retained the cities in which they had fortified themselves. As a result, these wars invariably ended in a kind of compromise peace. Typically, the Protestants would be allowed to worship in one town in each district and on the estates of Protestant nobles. These kinds of concessions, that is to say, in turn outraged Catholic opinion. And since the crown was never really strong enough to enforce its own solution to the problem, these peaces, which would bring these wars to a close, would invariably be violated, and violence would inevitably resume, and another war would follow.